If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to chapter 12 of Mark. We're going to get back on the study of Mark. It's been quite a while. Maybe just a little bit of refresher. We know that Jesus has entered Jerusalem, and we've heard a couple of parables, and we've talked about the money changers, and so he's back in the what Matt called the fig belt. I really like that. I'm going to incorporate that into my stuff. So today we're looking at the parable of the vine growers. And I'm going to go ahead and read that section if I could, and then we'll pray. Chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm reading out of the New American Standard Version. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a vat under the wine press and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers, and they went on a journey. At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to receive some of the produce of the vineyard from the vine growers. They took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and that one they killed. And so with many others, beating some and killing others. And he said, and he had one more to send, a beloved son. And he sent him last of all to them, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine growers said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. They took him, they killed him, and they threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine growers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to seize him, and yet they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke the parable against them. So they left him and went away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this section of scriptures. Lord, as we devote some time to it today, looking and dissecting, we pray that you would help us to understand and go forth and just have a better, clearer idea of your message and your messengers. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this parable is called the Parable of the Wicked Tenants, and it's a story told by Jesus. And we can find it in the Gospels of Matthew, in Matthew 21, 33 through 46. We find it here in Mark 12, 1 through 12. And we also find it in Luke, chapter 20, verses 9 through 19. And the parable uses metaphor. And metaphor is kind of a tricky, sometimes dangerous thing to use, but this is pretty clear. And he uses a metaphor of a vineyard to convey spiritual truths and to convey a message about the rejection of God's messengers. And that's what this is all about. Jesus begins, he starts out this storytelling of a man who planted a vineyard. And this man represents God. In the vineyard, a common metaphor in the Old Testament, John 15, 1 through 8, Jesus says, I'm the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So a man plants a vineyard, and he sets a hedge around it. He digs a wine press, and he builds a tower. In that, we see some things. We see protection and provision. In telling this parable, Jesus is addressing the religious leaders at the time. You remember he was talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they were all around. And he's went through several parables, and basically they've all been directed at them. And this time is no different. He's warning them about the consequences of their rejection of God's messengers, and ultimately the rejection of the Messiah. And we see it starts off in He's talking about the prophets of old. We see when he says, and when the time came, he sent a servant or tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. And when the time comes for the owner to receive his share, he sends a servant to collect the fruit. But the tenants, they mistreat the servants that he sent. And he sends a servant, he beats them and sends them away empty-handed, the scripture tells us. And this process is repeated with other servants. We see it over and over again. Each one is treated poorly or killed. Now these servants sent by the owner symbolize the prophets that God has sent Israel and throughout history. And the mistreatment and the killing of the servants represents the rejection and the persecution of the prophets by the people of Israel. So just think about it, sitting here, and they're sitting and they're listening to this parable as Jesus begins to tell this story. And the scripture tells us plainly that they realize that he's talking about them. Verse 3 says, but the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed, and he sent another servant. But also they beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third, and this one was wounded and cast out, in Mark 12:3. Each servant was treated worse than the previous one. It's an escalation of problems and violence. And Jesus was saying that God sent prophets to his people and they treated them wickedly. Remember, Jesus just earlier was entering into Jerusalem in Matthew 23. We read in 37 through 39. He looked out over the city as he came over the hill and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets who are sent to her. And so this is heavy on Jesus' mind as he enters into Jerusalem. And then as we walk through, and we've been doing through over the past maybe 4 or 5 weeks, we had the money changers and all of these scenarios that Jesus confronts as he goes through the temple. And it escalates. Remember in Acts chapter 7, verses 51 and 52, Stephen said to the religious rulers just before they stoned him, he said, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. And then it says, Stephen says this, which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? Were there any? And he himself was there being stoned. And now, it's easy to think back and go back. You know, Elisha was driven into the wilderness by the kings in 1 Kings 19 and then Jeremiah 20, verse 1. And, you know, according to tradition, Isaiah was sawn in half. And Nehemiah, the prophet Zechariah, was stoned to death near the altar in 2 Chronicles 24, 21. John the Baptist was beheaded. Jesus' point was that Israel's leaders had become successful from the fruit of the vineyard, the Israel, and they wanted to keep the bounty for themselves. God's prophets were a threat to their profitable status, so they constantly got rid of the prophets. Eventually, after many servants had been sent, wicked and wickedly mistreated. In verse 6 in Mark, he says, the owner of the vineyard says, what shall I do? And he says, I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him. And here's his beloved son sitting in front of him. seeking, it literally says seeking to do him harm. But they feared not God, they feared the people. This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours. Jesus was taken out of the city to Calvary. They threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. The tenants might have thought that the man was dead and that the son was coming to claim the inheritance. And I read that in those days that tenant farmers could claim that land for themselves if the owner had died. So the tenants believed that if they had killed the son, they would be able to keep this vineyard for themselves. And this is a parable about Israel. Just let that sink in for a little bit. The idea is that they can run this show the way they want to run it. And they can get rid of these, if they can just get rid of these prophets that keep coming and reminding them what God wants them to do. You know, we can have church any way we want to. We can bring in fog machines. We can do it our way. We just got to get rid of all these naysayers that are always trying to do it God's way. We push them out. Jesus' point in the parable is that the leaders would go as far as murder in order to maintain their positions and their status and their authority. And that's exactly what the leaders of Israel did in just a few days. They killed the Son of God. They put him to death because he was a threat. He was a threat to their position. He was a threat to their status. And he was a threat to their authority. Let's look a little deeper at it. In one aspect of this parable, we should not miss the persevering love of the Father. Look, even though Israel turned its back on God, he persisted in love. Again and again and again, he sent prophets. And here Jesus is, lovingly sitting in front of them, telling them again, reminding them of time after time. God has shown favor. God has got us out of the mess we've got ourselves into. God has blown up a covey of quail for us to eat and provided for us, and all these things that God's done over and over and over again. And here are these people sitting and listening to him, the very Son of God, and they can't even stop thinking about how can we shut him up. How can we hush him? How can we stop him from saying these things? One prophet after another was wickedly mistreated, but God still loved his people. Insults and beating to his servants didn't stop. Finally, he sent his very own son to turn his people back to himself. Charles Spurgeon said this: "You can reject him, and he answers you with tears. If you wound him, he bleeds out cleansing. If you kill him, he dies to redeem. If you bury him, he rises again to bring resurrection. Jesus is love made manifest." I want us to look now at verse 9 as we continue down through the scriptures. Notice the wrath of man. Continuing his parable, Jesus said, "What then will the owner of the vineyard do?" That's the tenants. That is the question his listeners were asking themselves as well. What would the owner do to his tenants? And Jesus' answer was simple. He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. The people listening to Jesus were stunned when he said that. And in Luke, in chapter 20 and verse 16, Luke said that when they heard this, they exclaimed, "Surely not." They couldn't fathom that God would destroy them. And then finally, look at the warning to all here. The coming judgment signifies the consequences that'll come about or befall those who reject God's messenger and ultimately his son. The vineyard will be given to others. And I praise God for that because I'm one of those others. The Gentiles. He's hinting at God's redemptive plan for the Gentiles. It'll be given to others. And Jesus looked directly at them and said, "Have you not read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." In verse 10, Jesus took his listeners to the scripture by quoting Psalm 118:22, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Jesus was switching the illustration from tenants now to builders. And both tenants and builders refer to Israel. The cornerstone is the most important stone in the building. Every other stone and element in a building must be in alignment with the cornerstone. The entire building is in relationship to the cornerstone. However, the builders rejected the cornerstone. And of course, Jesus was saying that he was the cornerstone. And Israel was rejecting him. And there's great peril in doing so. And he went on to say in Luke, in verse 18, Luke concludes a little bit more than Mark in this, and I just wanted you to get it. He says, "Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush them." So just in a summary of this of 12 verses, one commentator says that this parable teaches us three things, and I wanted to just kind of highlight those three things in just a reflection of the whole section. First is, the parable teaches us that Jesus knew what was coming. He didn't come to Jerusalem hugging a dream that even if he might escape the cross. Open-eyed and unafraid, he went on. For Jesus, there was no turning back. The second, the parable teaches us that Jesus never doubted God's ultimate triumph. Beyond the power of the wicked stood the undefeatable majesty of God. Wickedness may seem for a time to prevail, but it cannot, in the end, escape its punishment. And the third thing is, the parable teaches us most unmistakably Jesus' claim to be the Son of God. Jesus deliberately removes himself from the succession of prophets. They were servants. He is the Son. In this parable, he made a claim that none could fail to see to be God's chosen king. And I just can't imagine what it was like to be sitting in there. And it says, verse 12 ends by saying, they were seeking to seize him. And yet they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke the parable against them. And so they left him and went away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many times that you've done things and made it clear that you're in control and showed us and revealed yourself to us over and over and over again. Lord, I pray that we could just stop for a moment and just think and just remember all the many times that you've revealed yourself to us and showed us who you are in Scripture, in events, through people of your in your body, the church. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for your great mercy. Lord, we sing, Lord, have mercy, and we're so thankful that you do. We're so thankful that you're merciful to us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.